you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to just jump into a passage. We're not in the midst of a study of Matthew right now, but if you would look in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 16, Jesus is speaking to his apostles whom he's commissioning and sending out. And this is what he says, and it's not just for them. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 16, this is God's word. "Look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. Beware of them, because they will hand you over to local courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will even be brought before governors and kings because of me, to bear witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you are to speak, for you will be given what to say at that hour. Because it isn't you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to another. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, or a slave above his master. It is enough for a disciple to become like his teacher and a slave like his master. If they called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Therefore, don't be afraid of them, since there is nothing covered that won't be uncovered, and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in a whisper, proclaim on the housetops. Don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent. But even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. The one who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one who loves a son or a daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it, and anyone who loses his life because of me will find it." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Jesus is saying to those whom he loves, those he's sending out, you need to be expecting persecution. You need to be expecting rejection. Now, have you ever noticed that commercials are designed to make you feel like this product will cause you to feel good, look better, have an easy life? Basically, the way we sell stuff is by persuading people, whether honestly or dishonestly, this is going to make you happy. And Jesus was not doing a sales pitch. Jesus always told the truth. People would come to him and say, I want to follow you. And Jesus would say, well, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Well, that's not the way to get somebody on board. That's not the kind of thing you say if you want to get followers. Jesus had a large crowd that was following him at one point, and he turned to them and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And they scattered. What was wrong with Jesus? Why was he always saying stuff like that to drive people away? Nothing was wrong with Jesus. And it wasn't that Jesus didn't care about people. Jesus was going to die on the cross to save people. But Jesus always told the truth. And he still always tells the truth. You need to understand that in this passage, Jesus is telling the truth about what is coming. And he describes persecution by governmental authorities, which is something going on in many parts of the world right now. He describes rejection and division in families. Not because Jesus wants to try and do all he can to divide people, but because if you're going to follow Jesus, you can't wait for a majority vote. If you want to follow Jesus, you've got to decide, as we used to sing when I was young, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. What happens if you say, the Bible says this, and so that's what I'm going to do, and everybody around you says you're crazy? You could get yourself killed doing that. What if they just say, what a way to waste your life? A friend of mine, older than me, named Don Munson, his son is now a bigwig in the athletic department at Clemson University. But Don Munson was the heir to a fortune, a manufacturing business in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Don was the heir, and he married a lovely, socially prominent young lady. And then he felt called to go to seminary and prepare for the ministry of the gospel, preaching. Well, his family didn't just say, Don, we were hoping you'd run the business. They gave him a horrible time. They felt like this was betrayal. If he wants to give money to ministry, that's his business. But you're supposed to run the business here in Chattanooga. You're supposed to be the heir. You're supposed to be the one who does what we planned for you. We've worked hard to build this great business. Now we're turning it over to you. We want you to take it to new heights. But Don had a call on his life, and he wanted to be obedient to the Lord. And so he went to seminary. He was good friends there with a number of other prominent preachers, all of whom became better known than he did. He never pastored a huge church. He got a PhD from a university, and he taught at the college level, and from time to time he would preach. I had the privilege of being in the first class he ever taught at college, and I can tell you right now, he was nervous, and I told him after a few sessions, you know, I think you'd feel better and we'd all feel better if you would try and make eye contact when you're teaching. Because, I mean, he was like this when he was teaching at the start. He got better as he went along. Now, why do I tell you about him? Because here was a guy who suffered rejection from his family and ridicule and criticism from people he cared about, but he stayed faithful to the Lord, though there were times when he wondered, did I really do the right thing? Many years later, he took a course in evangelism with Campus Crusade because he wanted to become more proficient at sharing the gospel with other people. And part of the assignment, when you go through that training, you learn some material, you learn some techniques, but then you go out and you practice with strangers. Sometimes, by the way, it's easier to talk with strangers about this than it is your own family and friends. But if you get to where you're seeing God save people out there, it might encourage you to go ahead and share with family and friends as well. So Don went out as instructed on the streets of Chattanooga, where he'd taken the course, seeking to share his faith with people. You know what a street person is? Basically somebody who lives on the streets. There was one of those that Don spotted near the river. Don approached him, began trying to share the booklet, Four Spiritual Laws, with this man. And the man said, I don't believe that stuff. I think the church is just a bunch of phonies. I've never met anybody. He didn't say I've never met. He said, I don't know anybody who really lives the things that they say. And then he said, no, I can't say that. There was one guy here in this city who inherited a fortune. He was from a prominent family, and he married someone from a prominent family. But instead of staying here and living the high life like everybody expected, he left to go to seminary. And he described Don's life story. He said, that guy was a real Christian. Now, who do you suppose arranged for Don and that guy to meet? That would be my Lord. Let me tell you something. God knows everything about you. He knows everything about your home situation. He knows everything about who your peers are, who's pressuring you. He knows who encourages you to do the right thing and who encourages you to do the wrong thing. But let me tell you something. There's only one opinion that matters, and that's God's opinion. If everybody else says don't and God says do, you obey God. Jesus said, if you're going to live that way, it's going to be hard. But Jesus said in verse 28, don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Do you really think that you can improve your situation by not obeying God? Do you really think somehow you'll be better off? You know what's going to happen to every one of us? We're all going to die. And all those people who laugh at us or criticize us or persecute us are all going to die. Every one of them. And however painful and difficult this life may be, this life is short compared to forever. And the only thing that's going to matter is your relationship with God. What everybody else thinks of you, who cares? I'm getting older by the day. And so many people who were so world famous when I was your age are complete has-beens. Okay? I mean, you might find some of them on Wikipedia, but that's about it. They are not big influencers anymore. The fact of the matter is, we're all going to stand before God. And so Jesus says, don't worry about even those who could kill you. Be concerned about the one who, having killed you, can throw you into hell. But the point of Jesus' statement there is not that we should live in fear. He goes right on to say, your heavenly Father is aware and in control of even every sparrow. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground without the Father's consent. So here's the deal. You're worth more than many sparrows, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. His point is not that we should live in fear. His point is we should never live in fear of man. Never live in fear of what people are going to do, because God's in control. And so in the early church, when they were persecuted, they came together for prayer, and their prayer was, thank you, Lord, for counting us worthy to suffer for your name. They rejoiced even in suffering, which is exactly what Jesus says that we're supposed to do. So, will it be tough? Yes. But everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. The one who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. If you try to save your life, protect yourself, make sure that people don't criticize you and that nobody's going to harm you, you are throwing your life away. You will lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, you'll find it. So are you willing to lose your life? I don't just mean die. I mean yield everything to him. Say, Lord, I want to do your will. That's all that matters. Everything else is going to go away. Some of you are elementary age. Some of you middle school age. Some of you high school age. Some of you older than high school. But you know what? It's over like that. And you don't even have to get as old as I am. Just a couple of days ago, a man my age was driving with his wife along the Little River Road in the park right over the hill here. As he drove along, a tree fell on his car. And that was the end for him. Up in the Midwest, at a summer camp program, some kids were doing what they always do, going down the hill to the dining hall, and a tree fell on a little girl, and it was over for her. That was the end for her. You say, well, Pastor Wood, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to get you to trust him. Because if my life ended today, I'm fine, thank you. That was just the first stage. Now I've stepped into forever. And my forever, by God's grace, is something I can look forward to. But if you don't know him, if you haven't trusted him, if you haven't received him, then you should be alarmed, because you're not guaranteed another 5 minutes. I was sharing the gospel with a little girl who had requested an appointment with me in Atlanta. Her parents were in our church, and she had come under conviction that she needed to trust Jesus and be baptized. And so her mom made an appointment, and she came, and she sat in my study, and I talked with her the way that I typically talk with people who are expressing a desire for baptism. I asked her the typical diagnostic questions from Evangelism Explosion, another program, and How to Share Your Faith. I said, have you come to the place in your life where you're certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? And she looked at me and she said, yes. Second question is, if God forbid you were to die, and you stood before God, and he said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? So I'm in the midst of asking that question, but I usually make it a little more personal. I said, if, as we're sitting here, one of those planes from the Air Force Base were to crash into this building and we were all incinerated, and right at that moment, in our lovely new building there in Atlanta, the fire alarm malfunctioned. And so I'm talking with this young lady, and I said, what if one of those planes from the Air Force Base should crash into this building and we're all incinerated? Her eyes became very large, and she thought very soberly. I said, it's okay. No plane crash, just a fire alarm. It's all right. Let me ask you a question. Is the alarm going off in your head? Are you realizing that it really is about forever? Forever. Not just a long time. No end. Either heaven or hell. Are you trusting Jesus or are you not? Do you belong to him or are you still trying to manage your own life? I pray that you will yield your life to Jesus. Because he loves you so much that he took the punishment you deserve so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life with him. Don't throw away your opportunity.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.